Elliot Friedman, brought to you by Calgary Lock & Safe. Lost your keys? Calgary Lock & Safe can rekey or recode your locks. Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.
We say hello to Mr. Friedman on this Monday afternoon, and for your information, Friege, I did indeed have a great show on Saturday night. I just wanted to pass that along to you.
You had a what? Sorry, they plugged me and I didn't hear you.
I had a great show on Saturday night. I know you were worried about that.
Yeah, I was concerned for your well-being, Pat. I really was.
I survived it. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. There's a certain sense of nervous anticipation for tonight's Calgary-Toronto game in your neck of the woods. I listened to the entire 31 Thoughts podcast this morning with you and Jeff, and at right about 41:20, for about 2 minutes, you guys talk about what's happening with this Flames team. For those who haven't heard, what is your read on the Flames and what's happening with this team from afar?
You know, obviously they're going through a really rough time. Markstrom obviously has been worn down a bit. I think that game Saturday night was exhaustion, I think, of it on his part. The Wednesday game when he charged at the couple of the Canucks, I think he was just trying to light a fire under the team. The Kachuk thing is really interesting to me. I was really curious about some of his comments on Saturday morning about, you know, people close to him telling him that, the people were questioning his play or whether they want him around. I mean, that's a number one reason why I always tell family members, don't tell players what you hear or see on TV and radio. It just never goes well.
Yep.
I just think like there's whatever it is, it's not there right now. And I think the series against Vancouver was concerning. You could have knocked them right out. You didn't. Obviously the games against Edmonton were a concern, especially on Saturday night. That was such a listless performance on Saturday night. It was over really quick. And, I think everybody there is searching for answers. They're just in an ugly stretch right now. And, you know, the other thing too is, you know, Calgary used to have the benefit of some games in hand.
Yeah.
And they don't have those really anymore. If we end up going by winning percentage, you're in a rough spot right now. So I think the last week and a half, 2 weeks, I think they've, opened up a lot of questions about what's kind of going on.
Is this team actively chasing making a big change?
I think this, like, I just don't know how it's going to be possible. Like, there's nothing in the hopper right now, like, as I can tell. And, you know, we've talked about this before. Your GM is a guy who's active. He likes to make calls. He keeps in contact with the league. I think he's one of the most active. I think he's one of the most active GMs in the league when it comes to making calls. I think he really tried to be in on Dubois. And I think whenever there's somebody out there who's got a name, I think he's involved. I don't see anything imminent, but I think he's got his lines out there. I mean, we all know he's talked about Bennett. You heard what Eric had to say last week on the Flames regional show. And I think he's just thrown lines out there and said, okay, what about this possibility or this possibility? It's just the way he works. I do think we're getting to the point where we're going to have to talk about the future of this group. I don't think there's anything imminent, and we'll see where we go. I just, like, to make a big trade right now, it's so hard because of the border, and are you sending a guy to another team in the country? Like I said, I think there's some big questions being raised here, but I don't get the sense that there's anything dropping on our lap right away.
What's your sense? People in this city are calling for changes at the top with the general manager or with this coaching staff. What's your sense in that regard?
You just hired the coach.
Yep.
I guess, but you know, first of all, where are you going if you're doing that?
Yeah. I don't know. Like that.
Like to me, the question always is, if you're firing a coach, okay, what's the alternative? So what are you doing? Who are you going to get?
Yeah. Well, and I think in this market, Elliot, like the and I'm not saying that I subscribe to this, but I know what is being said, and there's a worry that maybe the message isn't getting through to this group and that any change would be good. I'm not certain that that is
I don't know if I buy that.
And I'm not sure really, I do either.
How many times have we said that before? Like, you know, there's been, you know, when like there was Bob Hartley, who was really tough on the players. And then there was Glenn Gullitson, who had more of the velvet glove. And then you went to Bill Peters, who had a very tough reputation. And they, you know, obviously the everything that happened and he was gone. And then you go to Jeff Ward, and, you know, Ward, I think he doesn't have like the Grim Reaper reputation. I think he tries to be really fair. I mean, you've had coaches of all different philosophies here. You know, are you sure that if you make the change, it's going to be any different?
Mm-hmm.
Like here's the thing too. Also, let's look at this. If you want to change the coach, okay, I mean, let's just say for argument's sake, it's someone who's there like Ryan Huska. Okay. First of all, are you putting him in a position to be successful? And secondly, you know, if it's not someone who's already there, you know, if it's someone who's based in the States, you're going to bring them up to quarantine for 2 weeks and then make your change? I don't know. I mean, he just got the job. I don't know. I mean, anything can happen that really doesn't make any sense to me. I think sometimes this sport, it's always like the easiest thing is just fire the coach, just mm-hmm. do it. And I just because it's the easiest thing doesn't mean it's always the right thing. I think the other thing too is that, you know, like I said, I don't know how easy a search it is to do right now.
For sure. Well, and the point that I made about an hour ago is, like, I still think that they've got an opportunity to swing the season back into their favor and not have this turn into a lost season. I still believe that chance exists. If it doesn't, and if it continues to go sideways and they're not able to get this thing back on the rails, I almost wonder if the stuff specifically about making a big trade, I almost wonder if the 14-day quarantine, you can almost kick that out the window in terms of that being a hindrance, because it might be at the point where you're not looking to make a move to help your team turn it around right now. It might be more of a bigger picture focus. I don't think they're quite at that point yet, though.
No, I would agree with that. But, you know, I would agree with that. You know, Calgary's not giving up on the season yet. Like the thing, the podcast today, I meant to talk to that as more of like a big picture, long-term thing. I realized when I listened to it, I made it sound too much like now. I didn't mean for it to come out that way. It did. I'll just deal with the fallout from that. I think it's, I do think the Calgary Flames eventually at some point, or if this doesn't turn around, it comes into an existentialist question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and partially because of where you are with a lot of these deals, you know, Goodrow's got one more year. Monahan's got one more year. You have to make some decisions. So, but the other thing too is that, you know, like, you know, the way the last week went, and I should say it's probably the last 10 days or so.
Mm-hmm.
Like you guys had an advantage there. You could have put Vancouver out of the playoffs. You really could have. And it didn't go very well. And I don't like to overreact to short spans. I just think you're wondering where this is going here. The Tkachuk thing is weird, too. I'm just wondering where that is going, too.
And I know that you've had a ton of conversations with the morning show on Fridays about that players-only meeting. it seems like that has kind of been a massive turning point for this team this year, and to this point, maybe not in a positive way.
Well, look, I think you can fix that. I mean, the bottom line is, you know, what you have to do is you just have to get him. It's almost like you have to clear his mind. Like, just say, you know what, Matthew, whatever happened, happened. Just don't worry about what anyone else says, and you be you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the, I just think, you know, Lucic, when he was in Boston, I remember PJ telling me one night, he says, you watch him, he sets the emotion. You like his first shift drives a lot of the team. And it was true. Like there would be nights where, and that's as professional a team as it gets, those Bruins of Chara, Bergeron, and the rest of them. But there would be nights where it would be Lucic who would, you know, it didn't start great, or like you're wondering, and then he had that big early shift, he dragged them in. And they all looked at it and they said, okay. And, you know, I think Tkachuk is that guy for you. I think there's nights, I've seen a lot of nights where he dragged you guys in. And it's not happening right now. And you're a very different team when he's not doing that. And I think that, you know, I just think that you need to go to him and say, okay, whatever happened, happened. We'll sort that out. But you just have to forget it. And you have to go back to being Matt Tkachuk, because they really need him. Like there's like, especially in this conference division, whatever we're calling it these days, there aren't a lot of guys like him, and having it is such an advantage. He has to get back to it.
Elliot Friedman's with us, Hockey Night in Canada, Sportsnet NHL Insider. He joins us every Monday here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Let's go elsewhere around the NHL for a couple of minutes. How do you read this Artemi Panarin situation in New York? That is one of the strangest ones I can remember trying to wrap my head around.
Well, I don't want to go too much into this because it's fraught with...
Yes.
It's fraught with trouble. It really is. You know, it's an enormous accusation. There's legitimate questions as to how true it is. There's a lot of politics involved here. You know, sometimes I think we're guilty as North Americans as putting North American solutions or North American mores onto the rest of the world. This is a very different. Russia is very different than North America. And, you know, I think we have to allow it to breathe. We have to allow the situation to be figured out. Obviously, the Rangers are backing Panarin all the way. You know, some people who know Russia, you know, better than me, like Slava Malamud on Twitter, they have much greater. I linked to his thread because he's got much greater context.
Mm-hmm.
Than I know. I just look at it like, okay, the team's backing him. They're supporting him. That's important for the player, obviously. But everything else, we have to wait to see where this goes. I do know this. I know that we've seen situations in the past, and we've all heard of situations in the past where Russian players in the NHL, they worry about their families back home, right? And I'm sure that's a big part of it. And, you know, for all of us who worry about our families when we're right next to them, imagine what it's like to worry about people when you're not there. So other than that, I really don't have much I'd like to say about it, other than I think we'll just have to wait to see it unfold.
Yeah, very fair. And that's kind of exactly where I would be as well, knowing all of what goes into that. You reported some really interesting news on headlines on Saturday about the Nashville Predators. We've been talking about for quite some time, is this team ready to make some significant changes? Sounds like the answer is yes, and sounds like, Elliot, the list of untouchables is very small.
Yeah, you know, from what I've heard is that, you know, there are three max. Three of them. Look, Josi has a no-move clause, and he just won the Norris Trophy. He's not going anywhere. Ellis is hugely important to that team. They're big believers of him. He doesn't have the protection, but I know they like him a lot. Rene, I think, is also about, you know, he's a guy who they'd like him to retire as a Predator. He's got a partial no-trade clause, but there also might be a recognition there that he's not really interested in going anywhere else. I don't know that for sure, but I can see that being all part of it. And, you know, I think they've been asked about Forsberg. I think it will take a ton. I think it would, but not impossible, but it would take a lot. You know, they have some – Favreau was the guy who really surprised me because he was such a sought-after prospect when he got there. But if you take a look at them, they've got a couple of prospects at the AHL level and one at the NCAA level that they really like. So I think they believe that, you know, if they had to do something, they could. Again, it would take an awful lot to get those guys to go. But I think what it's saying is that Nashville's open to listen to a lot of things. Doesn't mean it will happen. Just means it could happen.
And finally, I have been asked by many people on our text line on Twitter, knowing that you're coming on today for your regular hit. I have been asked, and I would not be doing my duty. I know that you dove deep on this with Merrick on the 31 Thoughts podcast, but maybe more of a Reader's Digest version of your wardrobe choice on Saturday. Many are curious as to the motivation behind the turtleneck, Elliot.
Well, I was challenged by Sportsnet's regular turtleneck wearer, Carolyn Cameron, to do it. You know, she said, I dare you to wear this. And, you know, we wanted to, you know, we waited, there was a concern and I get it. You know, some of our bosses were like, we don't want people daring each other to wear clothes on the show. Like, I don't want you tweeting in Pat at David Amber to tell him to wear like an apron on the air that says kiss the cook. And then Amber wears it. They don't want that. So I understood that. We had to figure out a perfect way. And, you know, Deb Berman, who does our wardrobe and does an unbelievable job, she's kind of said, like, will you trust me to try different things with you? And 20 years ago, I wouldn't have done it. But now I laugh at myself a lot more. And Deidre Dion has a major position at our place.
Yes.
She actually won an Olympic bronze medal in 2002 in freestyle skiing. You know, these are... they said, leave it with them, and they would convince that it could be done in a proper way. And I think the thing that we agreed on was we weren't going to reveal it beforehand. We weren't going to make a big deal out of it. We're kind of going to go and show it on the air and see just where it went. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, Pat, life's hard now. People need a good laugh. Sports is supposed to be fun. And we're glad that people had a good laugh. And, you know, it's funny. I was talking to someone today. And the thing that we made it kind of realize it about us is that you can have fun, but not have it overcome the show. Like, we didn't really do a lot with the turtleneck on the show. We mentioned it at the beginning. We showed Carolyn's tweet. But other than that, I just appeared on there with it. And it was another life online. People were going crazy.
Like naked Ryan Kessler.
Like naked Ryan Kessler. And that's the thing now. Everybody's looking at the multiple screen experiences. You want the game, but you also want to feel you're involved in it in some other way. And a few of us were talking today that's kind of the way, what we're going to have to embrace is that you can have a broadcast which treats the broadcast the way you want it to be treated, but that doesn't mean you can have fun ways to do it in a way that you engage with your audience. And I think the lasting legacy of the turtleneck might be that. Now I'm going to see when they allow me to wear it next.
I like it. I like that it sometimes feels like this is a serious life or death business. I like that you bring the levity to it because in the end, it really isn't. It just isn't. Plus, you look very dapper. So I think everything came together very well, Elliot.
As someone said to me, like at 20, you look awful. At 50, you look mildly passable. So I think that's good.
Baby steps. Thank you, Friedge. We'll hear you on Friday. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Take care, guys.
Elliot Friedman, brought to you by Calgary Lock & Safe. Having issues with your automatic doors not working properly? Calgary Lock & Safe can help. Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.